Welcome to Sound Doctrine. This is Chris Ardern, your host. We can be found at www.sounddoctrine.org. I want to welcome everybody back. We're just plugging along here, as you are, finding our way. And as these profound understandings in Scripture continue to open up, it just gets to be so overwhelming at times, as far as how to even put this into words, because it's just this shift that's a new age term that you're hearing these days, and it's the fact that the more amazing, profound truth in Scripture that the Lord opens up, as we balance it against what's happening out there in this world of deception and illusion that we've grown up in and has developed into this beast that it is today. And as this Scripture opens up against this backdrop, it's a challenge. It's just a real challenge. It's to where you go, is this what I'm seeing? Can this really be happening? Is this really what this is saying? But as you go on, it's just a matter of reconciling this controversy. It's a scriptural term. This is loaded. As really what we see here is this metaphor of Scripture becomes reality in the revelation of Jesus Christ, because this is what we're about. We're about the revelation of Jesus Christ, as Jesus Christ is revealed to this world. And this is what's taking place right now. But it is so different and so contrary to what's been taught in the corporate system, religious system, that it's just hard to even believe. But we have to believe it, because this is what Scripture's saying. And I'm at the point now where I just try to keep as little outside influence coming into my mind, that I don't want to cloud what the Scripture is teaching. This, because Scripture is just so beautiful, so, I want to say perfect. It is. It's the perfect Word of God. And even though we can argue and discuss the, possible flaws in the King James Bible and translation, there's not much as far as what God is doing. And He is accomplishing His work, in that He is gathering His elect from the four winds, and He's doing it through truth. And He's doing it with this basic roadmap for the end times. And it's the 1611 King James Bible. And that's just what I'm going to say, because, we can go into a discussion concerning that, but I'm not going to go there. I don't go there. Because this word is so amazing as it opens up. And now I have to just push past what I know and what I've been taught and what is being told to me from others, that I just have to push past it all and just keep putting out what I'm learning and what I'm seeing from Scripture. And that's just what I'm going to do. And it doesn't fit with what, most are seeing, believing, teaching, but I can't let that stop me. But we're into this study. It's actually part two of the study we were doing last time. As far as my notes go, I'm not sure where that study last study kind of got off on a tangent, but it's just the way it worked out. But I'm using the study notes that I had left off from that show to continue on here, but it's got a lot more in it now, a lot more information, a lot more material, and I just pray that I can make some sense out of this for you to understand. And you know, the theme really is gathering and scattering that we're dealing with here, and it's a pretty complicated topic, but because what you have gathering of the elect, and you have gathering of the apostate, and we have the scattering of the elect and the scattering of the apostate. But we see, you know, like Matthew 24:29. I'll say Matthew 24:31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now that verse is huge. And it's because it's happening right now. I don't know how long it's been happening, but it's happening right now. And this verse is profound. For one, we'll start with the word angels. Well, angels means messengers. It means pastor. And this is the voices. Revelation 8:5, and the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar, cast it into the earth. And there were voices, and thunderings, and lightnings, and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth. The third part of trees was burned up, and all the green grass was burnt up. Now we've just got these repetitive terms going on here. I'm sitting here now just blown away, because I just got this verse. I wasn't in my notes, but it came to mind. You know, the voices, thundering, lightning, earthquake. You see that written at the beginning of the trumpets, at the beginning, I think it's at the beginning of the vials. And it's at the beginning and the end of the seals, the vials, and the trumpets, I believe. The voices, the thunderings, the lightnings, and the earthquake. And the voices, you know, this is the voices of really, it's the voices of the two witnesses, which is where we left off in the last show, which is where we're heading in this show. These two witnesses, this mysterious entity in Scripture known as the two witnesses. You know, and then this is part of the series on fractured fairy tales, because what we're doing here is we're repairing these fractured fairy tales that are Christian doctrine. And the Christian doctrine out there today concerning the two witnesses as, you know, a vital doctrine that is absolutely imperative that we as Christians understand. And of course, this is a key doctrine that Satan attacks in the fables that are Christian end time doctrine. And you know, whatever Hal Lindsey and Tim LaHaye and John Hagee says about these two witnesses, you know, forget it. Because what the two witnesses are is the church. It's the royal priesthood that is building the temple. It is building New Jerusalem. It is the end time church leading the way on the road to Zion. Follow me to Zion, which is above. Jerusalem is above. And it begins with voices. These are the voices of the angels in Matthew 24. And where are these voices today? You know where these voices are? These voices are on Facebook. These voices are here. I mean, this is what's happening. The Lord is gathering his elect from the four winds, and he's doing it on this internet. And he's doing it at a time that at the same time this is taking place, the masses of professing Christians are oblivious to it. And while Satan, the master of illusion, has most people, even in the professing remnant community, looking to the distance for this coming apocalypse, this coming catastrophe, and they don't realize it's already happened. What they think is coming has already happened. This is the pattern. It's over and over again. And you just have to forgive me as I probably am stumbling here, because this is hard to teach because it's so contrary to what we've been taught and really so many of us believe in, even myself. I've got this stuff so deeply ingrained in me that I can't believe it. But when I teach what I'm seeing in Scripture, I just have to say it, put it to words. My voice, sounding the trumpet, because this is what this is. This is the trumpets are sounding, and the trumpets are the voices of the servants, the prophets, that grow, that build, as we continue to profess the truth. this thing builds. You know, the question is, what is this thing? Because you can't see it, you can't touch it, but it's there, and this is what we're about. We're building, and we have to take this verse in Matthew 24:31, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather his elect from the four winds. Well, this, I'm telling you, this is a thread on Facebook of one of his angels, one of his messengers, professing truth that draws people to it. And where is this? This is in Matthew 24, verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days. The sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. See, this is already over with, you know. The tribulation, this is happening, and it's happening after the tribulation. Because I'm telling you, this is the way it is. What we think is the tribulation is not what the tribulation is. The tribulation's already run its course. The tribulation is the deception that has come upon the land like a flood in these last days. And it's already run its course. It's already over with, see. And, you know, we take it back to 1947 when the four beasts, when the three beasts merged into the fourth, the diverse fourth beast, dreadful and terrible. And Zechariah says it's for the purpose of judgment. And this is what's happened. And since that period of time, God has passed his judgment. This is what he's done. And this is what Matthew 24 is talking about. As all the, you know, go back a couple shows with the teaching on the Olivet Discourse. As we see this thing has already happened. You know, the temple is already destroyed, already torn down, which is the Christian church. And what's been happening is the two witnesses, the type and shadow of Joshua and Zerubbabel, have been rebuilding the temple as per the example that is written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world has come, in the prophecy of Haggai, the account in Zechariah of the two witnesses. And, you know, we're going to spend some time today really putting some more clarity on this. On this, I hate to say the word phantom, but this is what it is. It's so abstract compared to what is taught in the church. And when we teach what Scripture is really, really teaching about this, you know, it's a challenge. And it's just not easy reconciling this with our preconceived notions. But we have to. We have to push through this and get this. Because this is so important to understand what's taking place. And, you know, we're going to, you know, this study will tie many verses together that we've already been through. And that's what's exciting about it. But I have the notes here at the beginning of my, for the study tonight, is the revelation of Jesus Christ, is the metaphor becomes reality. And this metaphor that is becoming reality is the branch, capital B-R-A-N-C-H, written in Zechariah. Because this is what's happening. And this branch is the man-child. The branch is, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. You know, this is the building of what Scripture calls the man-child, which is the end-time body of Christ, which is Christ. It's Christ and his people, Christ inhabiting his people. This is what we're dealing with today, as this man-child is revealed. As Jesus Christ is revealed, he is being revealed through his people, his true people, his true branch, all capital letters. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. And in Zechariah 6:12, and speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Oh my gosh, this is just so amazing. Just so amazing. Because this is us. It's talking about us. We're the capital letters branch that God is building right now. And he's doing it by gathering us, gathering the elect from the four winds. And as the church wants to, you know, tell of a coming revival and the, you know, the hope of whatever people are looking for. Unfortunately, most of them are so deceived into even what they're looking for. You know, the majority are looking for you know, God to establish his earthly kingdom and fix this world, and you know, the distortion and the twists of basically it's the same thing as what was happening at the time of Christ, is they were looking for, you know, the Messiah to set up his kingdom, and it didn't happen, you know, and they were because they had no idea what it was going to look like. And then the same thing's repeating today, as, you know, the multitudes of professing Christians that are trusting these false prophets behind their pulpits to lead them are in for such a rude awakening as this truth, you know, continues to grow and continues to build. And these voices and lightning and thunders, you know, the lightning is the truth, you know, bringing the thunder and the earthquake that's happening right now is God's elect are being gathered from the four winds and speaking the truth that is being revealed to them. It's causing the lightning that truth is causing thunder and causing an earthquake in their world, because all of us as remnant believers of the Lord Jesus Christ are living through tremendous tribulation and turmoil right now. Earthquakes, just the shaking that's taking place right now. But this awakening that so many are looking for, it's not going to happen the way they think, because it's already happening. And we have to realize that Isaiah 27, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel." Okay, and this is very important, because the word channel here is the same word as branch. Okay, so it's the channel of the river. This is the metaphor going on here with the branch. I am the vine and ye are the branches. And the two witnesses are the olive branch, which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil. And this is the branches flowing the truth from the vine, the branch, the channel. And this is the channel that is the river coming out of Egypt, you know, coming out of Babylon, coming out of deception. And in doing this, ye are gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. This is the picture in Isaiah 27. That's verse 12. This is 13. "And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria and the outcasts of the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem." Okay? See, it's all metaphor coming into reality as we're, this is coming to pass, that the great trumpet shall be blown, and this trumpet is the voices of the servants, the prophets, that are blaring the trumpets. The trumpets are sounding the alarm, sounding the battle cry. We know that this is all military, all a war. You know, as Daniel said, in the end will be a war. And it's this war that we're fighting with our armor. And it's the Gog-Magog war. And we have to look at this, at these patterns, these repetitive patterns that are just taking place here. And he shall send his angels with a great sound and a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds. And this is taking place at the same time that Satan shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. And this is Revelation 20, verse 9. "And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, the beloved city. The fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them." You know, and this is the metaphor of what's happening now. As the saints are being gathered and the tares, the fake Christians are being gathered. This is all scripture. All scripture coming to light here. As Matthew 13. "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." And this is a gigantic metaphor, while men slept. Well, this is talking about the church. This is talking about the church, you know, if you will, since 1947. The whole end-time church while they've slept, the enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, dost thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence has it tares? But he said unto them, An enemy has done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up the wheat with them. Let both grow up together until the harvest. In time of the harvest, I will say to the reaper, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them, and bundle them, and burn them. But gather up the wheat into my barns. Okay, well, this is huge. This is the story of what we're dealing with today. This gathering and scattering. You know, we understand that you know, the Lord uses this metaphor of growing, of planting, of sowing, because this is how the Lord is able to communicate to us what He's doing. And we know where we've been the last months with this strange work, the Lord's strange act, the work that if it were told you, you wouldn't believe it. As that is profound, because we can go today and talk to our neighbor about this truth that they will, we tell them right to their face, show them in Scripture, and they can't believe it. They won't believe it because they can't. They can't deal with it because they've been under such strong delusion for so long. And you know, we're taking a look today at the wheat and the tares, the gathering, gathering the tares, gathering the wheat. We see this metaphor of what did I just read in Revelation? It just grabbed me. I mean, and the angel took the censer, filled it with the fire of the altar, and cast into the earth. Okay, see, there's metaphor there of being cast into the earth. This is the metaphor, same metaphor going on in Matthew with the earth and where the wheat and the tares are growing up out of. And then we've got this beast that rises up out of the earth. Well, this is where the beast rises up out of the wheat and tare field. Hold that thought. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Chris Ardern with Sound Doctrine. www.sounddoctrine.org. And before the break, we were looking at this metaphor of the earth, where the field that the wheat and the tares are planted in, and the metaphor going on here of the earth, the beast that rises up out of the earth. This is the beast. This is the beast of Christianity, false Christianity, false religion that we're dealing with today, and what God is gathering His elect out of. He's gathering his wheat, but what's He doing? You know, He allowed His wheat and tares to grow up together. The metaphor there is huge as far as Jacob and Esau. Jacob and Esau grew up together, right? It's the same dynamic taking place. The wheat and the tares grow up together. And now we're seeing this gathering taking place. The gathering of the elect and then the gathering of the apostate, the tares, being gathered by deception. And Satan shall go out and deceive the nations which are at the four quarters of the earth. And see, this is the deception that has come back. When, you know, I just have that signpost of 1947, 1948. Now we've been over the signatures concerning the flood and, you know, the torment that the locusts that arise out of the bottomless pit will torment men 5 months, will hurt men 5 months, and the connection to the period of time that the flood, that the waters were on the earth. You know, the flood waters were on the earth for 5 months. And, you know, we see the metaphor of the flood and the war And the flood and the war are likened as the same thing in Daniel chapter 9 when you realize the context. And this period of time possibly is 150 years as far as the timing of, you know, a week, you know, a day is a year, and a week of years, and the same formula that is used in the 70 weeks of Daniel. If you apply that to the 150 years, I mean, if you apply that to the 5 months, that's a metaphor in Revelation 9, you know, could possibly be referring to the period of time, the past 150 years of utter deception that's risen up out of the earth, this beast out of the earth, as, you know, John Darby and Karl Marx and Charles Taze Russell, the Jehovah's Witnesses, then Joseph Smith, and leading into, you know, the ultimate strong delusion coming out of the Schofield Bible with the successful undoing of the finished work of the cross, as what Jesus brought together, Jew and Gentile, Satan has now successfully divided again, and that he has the entire church forfeiting their birthright. Just as Esau did, Esau, who grew up with Jacob, and we see the whole same dynamic taking place here, with the wheat and the tares growing up together, let them grow up until the end. What happens in the end? Well, the tares turn black. And then it's easy to distinguish the tares from the wheat, which is what we're dealing with today. And we continue on with this metaphor in our studies of the strange work, the strange act, in context of Isaiah chapter 28. It was right before, we'll pick it up. Isaiah 28:21, and the Lord shall rise up in Mount Perazim and shall be wroth in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now therefore be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong, for I have heard from the Lord. Well, we know what this strange work is. And if you don't, you know, we need to go back into these past shows and understand this. But this work that the Lord is going to do in our day, that if we were told, you wouldn't believe it, is the fact that he allows his entire house to be infiltrated with false teachers. And this is what we have. This is what we've had since, you know, arguably since the mid-1800s, as another gospel has crept in. And in the name of Christianity, has presented the Antichrist. And this is absolutely the manifestation of the Antichrist, the counterfeit Jesus, the Jesus that looks like Jesus, and it's not Jesus. And this is what we're dealing with today. And I just read out of Isaiah 28, 21, 22, the count of this strange work, and to pick up in Isaiah 23. Give ye ear and hear my voice, hearken and hear my speech. And what are we doing here now? We're going to go right into agriculture. We're going to go in verse 24. Does the plowman plow all day to sow? Does he open and break the clods of his ground? When he hath made plain the face thereof, does he not cast abroad the fitches, scatter the cumin, cast in the wheat, and appointed barley, and the rye in their place? Okay, do you understand the amazing metaphor taking place right here as referencing the scattering and gathering? He's casting abroad the fitches, scattering the cumin, cast in the principal wheat, and the appointed barley, and the rye in their place. This is a picture of this same field in Matthew chapter 13. And it's being accurately and precisely planted as the fitches and the cumin are planted in with the wheat. Now these fitches and cumin were planted into a field for seasoning, for flavor to add to the wheat and the barley, and a plowman would precisely plant them. And this is the picture the Lord's given us for the way that the earth, the world, the field is, and as we're struggling, with these wheat and tares, serpents and scorpions, the thorns and thistles, these are all in place for our good as the Lord is building His house, as He's preparing us for an eternity, and we can only do that and be the people that He desires, perfecting our salvation, having to deal with all the same things that Jesus dealt with. Because what is this all a picture of? It's all a picture of everything that Jesus dealt with. And what did Jesus deal with primarily? He dealt with the false religious system. And this is basically our goal today, is to overcome the false religious system. The same exact thing that Jesus went through. The pride and hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees are exactly what the remnant believers are dealing with today as we're in this field. And we see the metaphor of Isaiah 27 again. It is just so good. It's so profound in that, one of the big doctrines that there's this coming revival. And, the Lord will establish His kingdom on earth and it'll just be wonderful. But it's not what Scripture says, In Isaiah 27, it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river and unto the stream of Egypt, and he shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. So see, this is a gathering one by one. I'm telling you, it's happening right now. It's happening on Facebook. It's happening on these podcasts. And it's happening, unfortunately, mostly on this internet. Because we are so scattered. We are so scattered. The remnant body, but the Lord is gathering it through this electronic media, this electronic medium, I should say. But continue on in Isaiah 27:13, and it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcast in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. So this is the picture. This is the picture in going on in Revelation chapter 20, as the Lord is gathering the deceived through deception, shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. And there's another picture of the wheat field is the sand of the sea. Though Israel be thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness. So there's just key words here: the consumption. There's consumption that comes upon the whole earth. The deception, the snare that comes upon the whole earth. The people of Israel be as the sand of the sea. The people of Israel be as the wheat field, where the wheat and the tares grow up together. I mean, I'm just paraphrasing, but this is the same principle being taught here. And the Lord has allowed this deception, arguably rampant in the last 150 years, possibly building to the perfect storm, which is the baby boom generation. As these world powers, the lion, the bear, the leopard, the white horse, red horse, black horse, came together in 1947-1948 for the purpose of judgment. And there is no mistake that what Satan has the deceived church looking off in the distance for has already taken place. and that we've been under judgment clearly since the conglomeration of the world powers, as in on a physical layer, the white horse is the British Empire. These are the final kingdoms. The British Empire, the red horse is the Soviet communist system. The black horse as the Nazi National Socialism fascist system. These three ideologies have merged into this New World Order, which has been running the show since 1947, 1948, and manifested in America. The American Empire, the military-industrial complex, the UN, the U.S. UN. And then what do we have at the same time coming together, 1947, 1948? We have the Little Horn, power. This nation state of Israel on a physical layer and what it represents. The ultimate manifestation of Christians forfeiting their birthright as they align themselves with this little horn power. As Satan is gathering the deceived nations from the four quarters of the earth for the Gog-Magog battle. And, you know, this is what's happened. You know, this Gog-Magog battle has been raging, you know, let's just say since Billy Graham and television. And, you know, we're at the end of this thing. This thing's run its course. It's over. And now we're at the end. We're at the end of this thing. You know, immediately after the tribulation, the sun and the moon will be darkened. You know, the tribulation it's talking about in Matthew 24 is talking about deception. It's talking about the deception that has brought the entire world to the Valley of Armageddon. And we're gathered right now. And the good news is that the Lord is gathering his elect. And his sheep hear his voice, his sheep are not deceived. During this period of time when the deception is so great, it could deceive the very elect, but his elect are not deceived. But when we really plummet the depths of gathering and scattering that is taught in Scripture, you know, and then we've got this metaphor happening of the two witnesses, and as we attempt to repair the fractured fairy tales that are so important to understand, as you know, we knew that Satan knew the doctrines to attack as the key false teaching on the scene today is the heritage of the Israel of God has been so confused that Christians don't know who they are. They don't realize that they are the Israel of God, the apple of his eye. And one of the best teachings on this subject is found in Zechariah, all in context with the four beasts, the beast powers coming together. You know, we see the lion, bear, and the leopard. We actually see it manifest as the horses in Zechariah, the white horse, red horse, black horse. They are gathered. The beasts combine for the purpose of judgment. And make no mistake, we have been under judgment since the middle of the 20th century. Immediately after the days shall the sun and the moon be darkened. Well, this is what we have. The sun and the moon are darkened. The sun is the gospel. The moon is the church. No longer reflecting the gospel. They're reflecting a false gospel, a false message that is not the gospel. It's another gospel. It's another Christ. It's Antichrist. And the corporate church today is teaching Antichrist. And at the same time, Satan has got them deceived to the point they are looking off in the distance for what's already taken place. And with this understanding, we, you know, can come to the conclusion that this thing's run its course. And you know, no more of a profound metaphor as the Lord attempts to teach us with our finite minds the dynamic taking place in Zechariah. You know, the book of Zechariah is the fulfillment of the prophecy from Haggai, which is the prophecy of the two witnesses that are for the Lord's work in the last days to build his house, to build New Jerusalem. And, you know, this has been going on since the cross, make no mistake, as the man-child is essentially Pentecost, as the branch that is grafted into the olive tree, you know, flows the Holy Spirit through the channel, you know, and essentially the Lord's been gathering his elect since the cross, but it's been a process of gathering and scattering, building and tearing down, you know, and it's been done through words, through deception. The sword's out of the mouth. It's always a picture of words. And we're at the end days now with this whole thing coming to a head in that the branch, the man-child, that the... I think the best way to you know, close out this broadcast is to spend a little time in Zechariah now, and let's just see what these two witnesses are up to. What are they doing? It's clear. It's a clear picture. We've got I'm just going to start out with Jeremiah, because they're doing the same thing as Jeremiah was. In Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 5, they shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, "Come, let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. For my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on their mountains. They have gone from mountains to hill. They have forgotten their resting places." This is what's happening. This is what we're dealing with today. We're dealing with the people who have been deceived by their... These are the lost sheep that have been deceived by these false shepherds. These false shepherds have caused them to lose their resting place, to have lost their Sabbath rest in Christ. But we'll run through this first part of Zechariah. It paints the picture clearly. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 10, "And the man stood up among the myrtle trees, answered and said, 'These are they whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro through the earth.'" So these are the two witnesses that are walking to and fro through the earth, looking for those whose heart is perfect towards God. This is what they're doing. This is what the two witnesses do. The two witnesses are the end time church, the royal priesthood, the perfected saints on the road to perfection. It's the process. And as we're on this journey, we're gathering more people along with us. Follow us to the road to Zion. "And the man stood among the myrtle trees. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, 'What be these?' And he answered me, 'These are the horns which have scattered Judah and Israel and Jerusalem.' And the Lord showed me four carpenters. Then I said, 'What come these to do?' And he spake, saying, 'These are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. But these are come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up the horn over the land of Judah to scatter it.'" So this is the picture of the beast. The beast, the final kingdoms, the carpenters that the Lord's using as a metaphor here, the definition, a fabricator of any material, artificer, carpenter, craftsman, figuratively to devise in a bad sense, hence from the idea of secrecy, mason, skillful, there's a signature there with the masons. Well, this is the deception. The four carpenters are the four beasts, the four horsemen, the bad that happens at the end for the purpose of judgment. This is chapter 1 of Zechariah. I'm just going to leave it at that. This is stuff that you need to study yourself, pray about, have the Lord open your eyes Zechariah chapter 2, verse 4, and said unto him, Run, speak with this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle. That's a gigantic verse. Because what else is without walls? And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages, and I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them that are dwelling without walls, having neither bars nor gates. Well, that's a gigantic verse in the middle of the Gog-Magog war in Ezekiel 38. Completely destroyed in interpretation. The church has no idea what that means. Without walls is three times in Scripture. I just read two of them. The third one, Proverbs 25:28. He that has no rule over his spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. So this is what's going on here. This is the apostate church, the apostate flesh church, who has no rule over his spirit. This is the land of unwalled villages that this judgment has come against. Moving forward in Zechariah, verse chapter 2, verse 13. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. Okay, you with me there? This is the Lord coming out of his holy habitation to do his strange work. This is the process going on here. And we've got the two witnesses, the royal priesthood, the perfected saints. On the road to Zion, these are the voices gathering the elect from the four winds. Zechariah 3, verse 4. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him, and unto him that said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with the change of raiment. This is talking to Joshua, the priest, the picture of the priest of the two witnesses that the Lord is cleansing here. Joshua, who had just dealt with the Satan, he had just had a bout with Satan, and not unlike us and our struggles, and the Lord is giving him a change of raiment, the picture for us. Continuing on in verse chapter 3, verse 8, where it gets huge. Now, hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. That servant, the branch, is this branch that's growing out of the vine. It's the branch is part of this picture of the two witnesses, the royal priesthood, Joshua and Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, governor, as in royal, he was of the line of David. The picture of this branch, the root of Jesse, which this branch brings forth. It brings forth Christ. It, you know, brought forth Zerubbabel. It brought forth Christ. It brought forth us, the man-child, the continuation of the branch. Coming out of the branch is the picture of the channel of out of Egypt that we saw in Isaiah chapter 27. This where the oil is flowing out of this branch. The Holy Spirit is flowing out of this branch. Just all pictures of what the Lord is doing in this process of the two witnesses gathering the elect with the trumpets. We see the two witnesses in Revelation 11. What happened in chapter 10? It's the royal, it's the servants, the prophets. The seventh trumpet sounds. I will reveal my mystery to my servants, the prophets. We're sharing the mystery, gathering one by one, and we're building the New Jerusalem, the temple, the man-child. It's all the same. I'm going to continue on and close out here in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 9. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall he carry every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. Fast forward to the end. This is what happens. This is the covenant written on our heart. This is the Lord making a new covenant with the house of Israel. And it's all the picture of the stone is the cornerstone that's laid as the foundation of this temple that Joshua and Zerubbabel are building. that we're building. And it's the all under the vine and the fig tree, under the covenant. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1, and the angel that talked with me came again and walked with me, a man that is wakened out of his sleep. Okay? This is the birth of the man-child. This is the body of Christ that's waking out of their stupor, out of this deception, this zombie apocalypse that's waking up. Chapter 4, verse 6, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. That is the foundational verse of Zechariah, that the Lord is building his house, not by power, not by might, but by his spirit. And this is what we're doing as the two witnesses, the royal priesthood of believers, the true body of Christ that goes through tribulation. We're killed. We are the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit in Revelation chapter 11, makes war with us and kills us. Our dead bodies lie in the street of Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Keyword also. We are identifying with Christ's death. As we lie in the streets of Sodom and Egypt, the dead bodies, the bones in the valley, all types and shadows of apostasy, the picture of Joshua, battling with Satan. But the Lord gave him new raiment, and the same thing happens to us as we see the ultimate Revelation chapter 11, verse 14. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe comes quickly. Well, what just happened here? The two witnesses have made it past the second woe. What's the second woe? It's the sixth trumpet. You've made it past the first woe, the fifth trumpet. What's the fifth and sixth trumpet? It's the serpents and scorpions out of the bottomless pit. And they've made war against you. They've killed you. Your bodies lie in the streets of Sodom and Egypt. But you've overcome them. It's past. You've made it through the fifth, the sixth trumpet. You've made it this far. Okay, you see what's happening here? This is what we do. This is what the two witnesses do. This is what the church on the road to Zion. And as we build this thing, builds, the two witnesses become the man-child, become the 144,000, the tribes that are regathered. Conclusion to the two witnesses are in verse 11, in chapter 11, verse Revelation 11:11. After 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. This is the two witnesses battling with the church, battling with false doctrine, battling with the scribes and Pharisees. The same way our Lord also, struggled against the same pride, hypocrisy, and this is the sets the stage for the end game, the Armageddon script, if you will, in chapter Revelation 12, 13, 14, as we continue on, as we are prepared now to go against the beast, to reject the mark of the beast, to not be merchandise in the harlot church, as we're not able to buy or sell in the harlot church. We're not able to be merchandised in the harlot system. And we continue on as we overcome the beast out of the sea, the beast out of the earth. All the dynamics of the beast out of the earth is the false prophet, the false church that comes out of the wheat field. The field is the world. It's the earth. We end up on the sea of glass, the sea of tribulation calm, as we've overcome. And his image and the number of his name, and this is about, folks. This is about the Lord preparing his people for an eternity with him. In metaphors of Scripture, I'm hoping that you are able to gain insight into what we're about. I believe at this time, God is gathering his elect from the four winds. And it's an exciting time to be alive. It's also challenging and perilous, as even our own remnant camp has been infiltrated. We need to be in the Word constantly and in prayer, seeking the Lord for his understanding, for truth to be revealed to us. God bless everyone. Thanks for the prayer and support. And until next time, this is Chris Ardern from Sound Doctrine saying goodbye.